never have used my phone, but I asked Colton there yesterday if he would read that, and he said, Papa, I don't want to read that. And what I got on my phone, I ain't going to say it's Bible, but it's history. And probably they know. But let's go to the sixth chapter of Revelation. Amen. I've heard some of this, but it come out on, I don't even know what it was on, but I had Colton to save it for me. And I don't know. It touched my heart. It just touched my heart. So many of us today, neighbors, that don't believe that we're going to have to suffer any persecution, or we're going to have to go through any tribulation or any hardship or hard trials. And we think it's awful to just have to get up and come to church if we're sick. And then if somebody says anything about us not serving God in a more perfect way, we think it's awful. We think we've really been beat to death and just tore down, and nobody loves us, and our feelings is hurt. And the church people have become a bunch of wimps. Amen. We don't want to hear the Word of God. We want to sing songs. We want to have praise and worship. Amen. And go home and have a feel-good party and go on and do exactly what we want to do. I've talked to several people lately, glory to God, and everybody they know is saved, and everybody I know is saved, and you can't hardly find nobody that's saved. And the only way you'll find somebody that's lost and undone without God is they've got in trouble, plumb over their head, amen, and they can't see no other way out, and it looks like the very bottom of the barrel, and then they'll say, yes, I want to accept Jesus. And this ain't 100% true, but at 99%, this is what happens. And we've seen it time and time again at Mount Vernon Church. I've seen it in other churches. And they run off and they hit the altar and they praise God. I've seen them come right here and want to be baptized and want to stand for God and never come back to the house of God. I'm talking about we've never seen them here again. So it takes trouble sometimes to wake us up. So I believe trouble is going to come to America. God has petted us. God has let us come to church when we wanted to. I'm going to tell you, it's not my choice to come to church. It's a commandment of God for me to gather myself together, assemble together, amen, and to put myself out to help somebody else. And I know sometimes, and Janet will wonder, she said, all of these call and want you to do a funeral, and it's so sad. This is what she told me. She said, it's a shame that we don't know no pastors, or we don't have a pastor to turn to at a time like this. And that's when I told her. I said, yeah, I'll do the funeral. Look, I'm going to give them a pastor if they want a pastor. Amen. I'm not a wimp. I'm going to give them a pastor. I ain't even got a message yet, but God will give me one. And I believe we need to preach. And then if they turn it down, I'm going to tell them it's your fault you ain't got nobody. There's a church out there, glory to God, that's open and wanting you, and somebody is preaching the Word of God. So I need to be ready. I'm not my own. I'm bought with a price. Amen. So whatever comes my way, I need to praise God for it. Because the Bible said that He got glory for it. He said, everything works the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. So my heart attack was for the glory of God. Corona that hit me was for the glory of God. My hip was for the glory of God. Amen. Me being back and able to go is for the glory of God. I figure everybody and everything that comes before us is for the glory of God. It's not always happy. But it's for a reason your car quit in 89 and didn't nobody run over you. It's a reason. It's in the hands of God today. If we're true born again children of God,
So if we have to die for the glory of God, amen, the Word of God will back it up.
Amen.
I need to be willing to die. Are we willing to die? Am I willing to die for the glory of God? Am I willing to lay my life down? I forgot, where's that? Egypt, I believe, India maybe. Where they broke the man's tooth out trying to get him to deny Jesus Christ. I thought, my Lord and my God, if they just walked in and shot me, I can handle that. I don't think it'd bother me one ounce. I wouldn't care if they shot me twice. But if they come in and broke one tooth at a time, if they come in and started messing with my wife, come on, church, they're mean. The devil's crowd is mean. They're out to kill, steal, and destroy. They are servants of the devil. So I believe we need to look at Ephesians and put on the whole armor of God. I've got to realize Satan can't go no farther with me than God wants him to. And if God allows him to come on, I'll have strength to handle what is coming my way. Amen. I've had some hardships lately, but praise God. Let's read the Word of God.
Listen, Lord.
I looked up some stuff on this and it said, they said this was symbolic. This ain't symbolic. The Word of God ain't symbolic. The 6th chapter of Revelation in the 9th verse.
Listen.
And when he had opened the 5th seal, I saw under the altar, look at this, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the Word of God and for the testimony which they held. Under the altar. I thought, this is our altar, but they were lower than that, under the altar. And they cried with a loud voice. So they were alive. They wasn't dead. He said they cried with a loud voice and said, how long, O Lord? Holy and true. And I'm going to tell you, they still had the faith. Even though they were under the altar, we might take it as being in captivity, or they might have been in pain, or they might have had great rulers over them. I don't know on this. But I thought they were under the altar. They had been wiped out by Satan's crowd. But can I tell you something? They were still praising God.
Amen.
They were killed as far as the natural man goes. Amen. But they were still crying out to God. And they cried out and said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge, dost thou not judge, and avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? So they wasn't on earth. I don't know if it's paradise or first heaven. I don't know. But the Bible said they were under the altar. They were still under the hand of God is how I take this. I believe they died by the altar. I believe they died of fighting for the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe they died, glory to God, because they wouldn't renounce the faith that God had put in them, about the grace that God had given them. I believe that they were still praising God. But they said, how long, O Lord? They still had a natural man about them. You look at this. They still had something natural about them because they still had eyes and they still had feelings and they could see those that were out here. And they said, how long, Lord, are you going to wait and not avenge these that have killed us? These that have come against us. How long, Lord, are you going to just let them get by? I can't believe this is symbolic to save my life. I believe this thing is literal. I believe it's real. I believe this thing really happened. And there they was. Let me read that again, Tim. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doest thou not judge and avenge our blood upon them that dwell on the earth? So, neighbor, this tells me, glory to God, if Satan kills us, I'm still going to know what's going on. That tells me all that they're going to do is just take this old body. That tells me, glory to God, that I'm still going to have contact with God. That they can't separate me from God. We preached it, I believe it's out of Romans there, said, who can separate us from the love of God? Maybe last week. But think about it, honey. I believe
Glory to God, when trouble comes, I believe this is what He's telling us. They were under the altar. Their blood had been shed. They could see the ones that had took their life. And He said, Lord, how long is He going to wait till You take these out and avenge them of My blood? So this, I don't know what about you all, but this put hope in my spirit. This put life in my spirit. If I've got to bleed a little bit for the glory of God, I believe God will take care of the pain. I believe it from the depths of my heart. I know without a shadow of a doubt, and when they said I should have been dead, God moved the sting of death. There absolutely was not one sting of death about me. And I knew. He said, if you get some help, glory to God, go finish your work, or you can die and come on and be with me. That's what Jesus put in my heart. I believe, glory to God, if you'll stay at the altar, amen. When death comes, if they kill you, they talk about, glory be unto God. I wish this would move somebody like it's moved me. I'm going to tell you, it's put the hand of God on me. Amen. It's put fear in the back row. It's put fear away, glory to God. God's moved some fear, amen, and some troubles of where I have doubt and I wonder which way this is going. I can't change none of His life and I can't change my family's life. Honey, but I can quit worrying and fearing about it. If you want to serve God, the door's open and I praise God for it. And if you don't want to serve God, if the door is still open, and if we want to sit in the car, that's up to us. I'm glad my brother told me. He said, that just fear come in on us. Amen. He said, and I said, I've had enough. I'm going back to the house of God. Amen. And I know fear comes on every one of us. You ain't the only one fear came on. Fear came on me. Bill, you as a leader, are you leading these people back into death? Are you leading them back into Corona? Are you trying to be a hero and lead them back into something? I want to be a leader of the Lord Jesus Christ. Glory to God. He's still King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I'm going to tell you, honey, when the blood has been shed and I've been killed and there ain't no way it looks like anything else can happen, I'm still going to know that God is going to avenge of the blood of those that shut us down. Can I tell you something? Something the Bible said, touch not mine anointed one. And glory to God. And we begin to fool with the house of God and trying to shut down the power of God and shut down the people of God and the praise of God. All over our land today, they're trying to stop shouting. They're trying to stop worship of God. They're trying to stop us from praying in the altar. They've done it, took the Bible out of schools. And all over our land today, we've got folks that are scared to death to even breathe. We're afraid to go into a cafe and eat. I do half of my witnessing over a cup of coffee. Glory to God, and that's good. Amen. Witness wherever you can. They shut us down from the jail. They shut us down from the nursing home. They shut us down from the hospital. Ask the Congress to get through hospice house. Glory to God, but I can still preach a funeral once in a while. I'm glad today, glory to God, when they think they've got you shut out. When they thought they had some of us killed out. And until we wouldn't come back in the house of God. We wouldn't shout again, or we wouldn't preach again. I'm glad, glory to God, God began to avenge some things. God picked up a little fear in my heart and moved it back and said, Bill, I've got this. I'll take care of this. Don't worry about it. And then the devil raises up and makes fun of you. He'll call you out. He'll send you a text. He'll try to stop you. Can I tell you something? One more time, we'll read John 10:10. The thief cometh not but to kill, steal, and to destroy. I'm going to tell you, there's some church people needs to get right with God. Some church people needs to be on Wednesday night to hear what the Word of God is saying. The choir is good, but it's going to take the Word of God. The youth meetings are good, but it's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take the power of Almighty God to change some lives, honey, in our nation. We, the old folks, are an example to those young ones that are up there tonight. Amen. Are we going to finish? Or are we going to lay down and quit? Amen. It's serious. Sonny boy, there's something required of you. Amen. How about it, sis? There's something required of us. I stood up.
got saved on Monday, and I stood up on a Wednesday night service. A little Fireview church with about 20 members. I don't even know for sure what it was at that time, but it fell away to about 7. And I said, God saved me. God saved me at home. From that time on, I had another father. I had another leader. I had somebody to take care of me. Daddy couldn't keep up with me. Mama couldn't. She didn't hold a change. But Jesus can. He'd even run out there in front a time or two and move several things out of my way. Amen. That I could just continue on. Glory to God. I got one more verse. It's done something for me. He's a fountain. Oh, Sam Blevins used to say, "What? Where the honey runs out, the fountain where the honey runs out." How do you say that?
Spout
where the honey runs out. You say that about every service. I got under that spout, and the sweetness and the goodness of God began to run out. And God gave me some strength in this thing. I'm telling you, God gave me some strength in this thing. And he went on to the 11th verse. And he said, white robes were given to them. You think he'd have given them a white robe if it was under a dirty altar? If they hadn't died for the glory of God? He said, he just gave them white robes. Every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest just for a little season. I thought when I get all tore out of the frame, bent out of the shape, because things ain't going right, nothing don't look like, just go over there, Bill, and rest for a little season. He said, let me just put a white robe on you. Amen. And just go on over and rest a little season. Well, I'm good, mind to run out the back door. Just go on out there and rest a little season. Said, you think this has been hard? Said, well, they've killed you and the blood's run out of you and they think they've won the battle. Said, you're still looking out there wanting them to be avenged. Said, I'm going to get them, but you just go ahead and glory to God. Put this white robe on and just rest a little while. Christy, you know what I'm talking about? Said, the old cancer is eating at you. And he went nearly to the grave. And Jesus said, here, just put this white robe on and rest a little while. Some of you still got it to face when mom dies or daddy dies or when some of these things. But I got such a blessing. Then Butch and Janet and three or four of us stand there when mom passed away. She was always full of it. 89 years old, she just looked up, and I thought she just said to me, oh, I've outrun you. She grinned, and I ain't had one regret. I wouldn't want Mama back with that little arm. It pleased her, Brenda. She said, I still praise the Lord a little bit. I wouldn't want her back under no circumstances in this junk, that old frail body. I'm talking about, the Lord said, just go ahead and put this white robe on and rest a little while. Said, this trouble comes, but just go ahead and put it. You know what I'm talking about, Roger. Then up in that old hospital, they said, well, he ain't going to make it. He should have done been dead. Said, just put on this white robe and rest a little while. Amen. Go, if we got the faith, honey, that's what God's telling us today. He said, I'm going to take care of all of your problems that's out here. These things that's come by your way and it looks like ain't nobody going to control it. And old Biden up yonder, amen, Janet says, he ain't old Biden, he's old Biden to me. Amen, glory. There he is, just a puppet on a string, trying to spend every nickel we got, tire us down till we ain't nothing. Amen, and some of us worrying ourselves to death about it. But I'm glad. Jesus said, this here, try this white robe on. And go rest a little while. I found out this old man's run some miles an hour just been resting a little while. Yeah. I've run out and done some things. I ought to have just been resting for just a little while.
Can we get this, how great God is? How great God is. He said, and a white robe was given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants. You read this. This is the Word of God. He said, till their fellow servants also and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. So I read out of this that there's going to be a few more killed. I'd like to be worthy to die for my Lord. Amen. I know I'm going to die anyhow. I'd like to be worthy to die for my Lord. I'd like to be one like Peter. Amen. That said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. And they buried him on a cross this way. Hung him on a cross. This is what I've got off of the phone, if I can get it back up. Lord, help me. I can't tell you this is Bible, but I want to read some of this. And some of you done read it, and I'd read close to this here and yonder in some Bible history and some of that. But how the apostles died. Matthew suffered martyrdom in Ethiopia, killed by a sword wound. Some of you probably got this on your Facebook. Man, it just tore my heart out when I began to think about. Don't go off and say I'm preaching from a phone. I'm just telling you how that they see that some of these died. And he said, Mark died in Alexandria, Egypt, after being dragged by horses through the streets until he was dead. That's old Mark that wrote the book of Mark. And it said Luke, old Dr. Luke, was hanged in Greece as a result of his tremendous preaching to the lost. I never got to Ethiopia, but I've been to Greece. And I slept one night there. One of the most wicked places I've ever been in my life. John faced martyrdom when he was boiled in huge basins of boiling oil during a wave of persecution in Rome. However, he was miraculously delivered from death. John was then sentenced. You know, God wasn't done with him. But can you believe? Oh, Brother John, as much as he meant to us, was boiled in a pot of water, pot of oil. Don't you know that was pain? But he didn't die. John was then sentenced. God wasn't through with him. Sentenced to the mines on the prison Isle of Patmos. He wrote his prophetic book of Revelation on Patmos. The Apostle John was later freed and returned to serve as Bishop of Edessa in modern Turkey. And he died as an old man, the only apostle to die peacefully. Out of 12 of them. Here's Peter. He was crucified upside down on an X-shaped cross, according to church tradition. It was because he told his tormentors that he felt unworthy to die in the same way Jesus Christ had died. That's a man of God. Maybe, is Bill going to ever straighten up? Is Bill going to ever step up to where Peter was, to where Paul was? Said James, the leader of the church in Jerusalem, was thrown over 100 feet down from the southeast pinnacle of the temple when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. When they discovered that he survived the fall, his enemies
beat James to death with a fuller's club. This was the same pinnacle where Satan had taken Jesus during the temptation. James, the son of Zebedee, was a fisherman by trade. When Jesus called him to a lifetime of ministry, we're called into a lifetime of ministry. As a strong leader of the church, James was beheaded at Jerusalem. The Roman officer who guarded James watched amazed as James defended his faith in his trial. Later, the officer walked beside James to the place of execution. Overcame by conviction, he declared his new faith to the judge and knelt beside James to accept beheading as a Christian. He proved himself. Bartholomew, also known as Nathanael, was a missionary to Asia. He witnessed for our Lord in the present-day Turkey. Bartholomew was martyred for his preaching in Armenia when he was flayed to death by a whip. I'm going to tell you, that wasn't an easy death. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross in Patras, Greece. After being whipped severely by seven soldiers, they tied his body to the cross with cords to prolong his agony. His followers reported that when he was led toward the cross, Andrew saluted it in these words, "I have long desired and expected this happy hour. The cross has been concentrated by the body of Christ. Hanging on it, he continued to preach to his tormentors for 2 days until he expired." Thomas, is this faith? I need to step up a notch. Thomas was stabbed with a spear in India during one of his missionary trips to establish the church in the subcontinent. Judah was killed with arrows when he refused to deny his faith in Christ. Matthias, the apostle chosen to replace the traitor Judas Iscariot, was stoned and then beheaded. Paul was tortured and then beheaded by the evil Emperor Nero at Rome in AD 67. Paul endured a lengthy imprisonment, which allowed him to write his many epistles to the church he had formed throughout the Roman Empire. These letters, which taught many of the fundamental doctrine of Christianity from a large portion of the New Testament. Perhaps this is a reminder, and I lost it all. Perhaps this is a reminder to us that our, golly, this thing's crazier. Perhaps this is a reminder to us that our suffering are indeed minor compared to the intense persecution and could cruelly face by the apostles and disciples during their time. "For the sake of the faith, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." If you've read this to here, please like and comment. To me, that was a blessing. It may not all be exactly the way it happened, but we know they all died. We know they're all persecuted. And we know that it's still going on today in our foreign countries. And just around the corner, it can come to us. I thought that when it said, "I've waited for this," I believe the Lord stepped out there and put that white robe on him. And I believe, as it said, as they frailed away on him, he preached. He preached for 2 days till he died. I'm going to tell you, God had to step in there somewhere. I thought that doctor at Forsyth, and I've said it, but it amazed me. He said, there's no fear. There's no anxiety. He said, you're so calm. He said, we have just been talking about that. And I said, Doc, if you do your job, I'm all right. If you don't, I'll be all right anyhow. I never knew this could happen until it happened. So it's for a reason. I can't doubt it. It's for a reason. God strengthened me in this, that I will put a white robe on you. I told that old black lady, I said, I believe it's time for you to pray for me. She kind of hesitated. She could lose her job, I know it. And she said, you want me to pray for you? I said, sure, I want you to pray for me. She did, didn't she? Lit up the room. Amen. God knows what He's doing. God knows what He's doing. I hope I didn't offend nobody with this phone. I didn't know no way to write it down. I can't get it off no other way. But I've got my ringer and all that other junk shut off. I just praise the Lord. Colton saved it for me till I could get it. And I praise the Lord for it. Fourth verse in the sixth chapter said, and there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Another one, it says, to take peace from the earth that'll be sent out. And these things are happening. These things are happening right before our eyes. If we could stop and see, I'm done. But if we could stop and see and think back that we have just talked about it, made light of some things, but how important it is for what leaders we got in North Carolina, what leaders we got in the church, what leaders we got as president. We look all through the Old Testament, we can find when they had an evil king, they'd had 30 years of good times with a good king. And an evil king or even evil ruler come in, and there was famines and there was troubles. Neighbors, there's evil all around us. Is it easier for you to get mad right now than it was 3 years ago? Just so easy, just go off. Just go off. It ain't been many years, I had never heard of road rage. Never dreamed. I thought, well, them up north's crazy. They'll run you out of the road and pull out in front of you and won't let you in line. But it's down here now. It's down here now. Anybody else got anything on their heart?
I say it again, I hope you're not offended by me reading that off the phone, and I tell you that Bible. It could be some stuff that wasn't exactly right in it. But as far as history goes, there was people there that could write it down. It's the time of Jesus. He wrote down the New Testament. Think about old Stephen, boy. If he wasn't awful close to where the Lord was at, the Father forgive me, I don't know what to do. And what was it for preaching the Word of God? Preaching the Word of God. I don't know, but am I ready? Am I, if they come in? If they take my bread and my card. I told y'all time and time again, I don't want to believe it. I don't want to think it's right. This fellow student showed me three houses. He said, they are mine. I've got the title to them. But they took them from me. So they can take your house today. They can take your car today. We've been blessed.
all, folks. We're done. Anybody else got anything on their heart? I hope somebody got just a little of what I did. Just a little of what I did. If I get beat down, if I live right, as ifs and always, if I live right, you put a robe on me and say, rest a little bit. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. This may be symbolic, but I don't see it that way. I feel it. It's real. Amen. It's real. Anything else? Anybody? I know y'all tired. I worked all day too. I went on overtime with you. Ain't no use
bringing
me
to
anybody back there.
Nothing
else?
Pretty good, I guess.
Go ahead.
I'm going to let
them buy.
We have
more than just
one thing.
Come on,
we'll
pick it up every time.
I need to buy this and take them home.
There's something the Lord laid on my heart. And this morning, on the way to work, a few weeks ago, I went and ate breakfast with Preacher Bill, and I told him about this. And don't nobody get mad at me. I don't want to say nothing contrary to anybody here, anything contrary to Preacher Bill or nothing else. But me and my wife, we were up in Tennessee a few weeks ago. We're coming down the road and talking and listening. We listen to sermons a lot and stuff, and just try to learn how to grow in the Lord. And we were talking about eternal security and things, you know, Preacher Bill preaches. I agree wholeheartedly. But one thing, you know, I've told my testimony several times about, you know, my spiritual birthday is coming up next Monday. And several times I've talked to y'all about, you know, what God done for me and done in my life, done in my wife's life. And we were coming down the road, and I said, well, you know, I said, when I was 11 years old, I made a profession of faith. And I said, I went out there after that, you know, I was baptized. Went to church on Sundays, done a lot of good things. But by the time I hit 14, 15, buddy, I got wild. I lived in sin. I was a liar, a stealer, a thief, cheater, foul language, fornicator, you name it, I was that. As I got, you know, old enough, get into bars, this, that, and the other. Well, even before then, I was getting in bars before I was even old enough. And all the while, living in sin. And we were talking about that. And we got talking about God's divine providence, His divine purpose. And I told her, I said, you know, I made that profession of faith. And, you know, afterwards, I went out there and lived in sin. And I said, there's no doubt in my mind. If I'd have died during that time, in those years, I went about to busted hell wide open. I'll not deny that to no one. I was wrong, so don't take this the wrong way, because I'm not justifying my sin. I'll get to that in a minute. But this come out of my mouth, and I didn't even realize where it come from. And I said, you know what? I said, if I hadn't been living out there in sin, and I'm not trying to justify it, I said, I'd never met you. I said, we'd never been together. And seeing, you know, I've said several times when I've talked and this, that, and the other, how if you look at your life, through the good, the bad, the ugly, You can see God's hand in every bit of it.
Amen.
But I was thinking about that, and I said, well, I didn't die. God didn't let me die. That's grace and mercy.
Right.
While I was out there. But I was apart from God. And if I'd have died, I'd have busted hell wide open. This morning, I've said several times, you know, you talk about Joseph. And I'm just going to use this as an example. When Joseph got down to the end right there, and his brothers come to him, and everything that had happened to Joseph, they come to him, and he reveals who he really is. And his brothers were burdened. They were scared. And he told them, said, don't cry, don't fret. He said, you meant it for evil. You. That's us. You meant it for evil. But God meant it for good. So that many may be saved. Well, last night, with the last couple of days, I've been listening to a few-part sermon on Philemon, and I'd never really looked at Philemon. I think Butch had taught on it before. But in Philemon, that one little small chapter there, and this was Paul's letter to Philemon, the whole letter is about forgiveness. And y'all stay with me. I'm going somewhere with this. I know it sounds like I'm rambling. But in Philemon, Paul writes this letter while he's in prison to Philemon. And it's concerning Onesimus. Onesimus had stole off of Philemon and fled to Rome. Well, when he fled to Rome, he runs into the Apostle Paul. Coincidence? Absolutely not. And when he runs into Paul, he's converted. He's saved. So Paul writes this letter back to Philemon and gives it to Onesimus to take back to Philemon. And he says, even though I have the apostolic authority, I beseech you, I plead with you. He wanted Philemon to do this on his own. Philemon was the head of the house where the church of Colossae was formed. And like I said, it was all about forgiveness. But this pastor made a comment, and it about knocked me out of my truck. And I was telling Chris on the way to work, I said, here's the thought for the day. I said, a temporary separation to bring about an eternal unity. And there are several situations throughout the Bible that you see where people were separated for the cause of an eternal unity. You look back at Joseph, you see Joseph separated, sold into slavery, separated from his people. You see God's divine work in every bit of that. So that many shall be saved. That's what he told his brothers. You see with Philemon and Onesimus. Onesimus had stole the money or stole whatever he stole. Fled to Rome, got caught, meets Paul, converted, comes back. He's forgiven by Philemon. And it brought him back into, he was a servant, he was a slave to Philemon. And it brought him back to an eternal unity. Not just with Philemon, but with Jesus Christ. And I got to thinking, what did Christ say on the cross? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? There was a temporary separation that brought about an eternal unity. And then tonight when Preacher Bill was preaching, this is why I just couldn't get it out of my mind. He's talking about being apart from the body, talking about those souls. We're going to be apart from the body. We're going to be separated from our body. But praise God, when it's all said and done, we're going to have eternal unity in this in the new body with Christ. And I've just sat here racking my brain all day about all the instances. You know, there was a separation, but it brought about an eternal unity. And every bit of it is God's divine purpose, His will, His glory. And how great that is. Referring back to my own life, my own testimony, I've got to tell it again. I know some of you have heard it. I made that profession of faith. I lived in sin like there was no tomorrow. God dealt with my heart. But for some reason, God brought me up in a Christian home with God-fearing parents that took me to church. And even though it made me mad as a bull sometimes, I always felt obligated to get up and go to church on Sunday morning. Maybe it's because I felt obligated to God, but a lot of times I was just scared of my mom and daddy. But praise God, that fear was in me. As I got older, you know, there's times I laid out, get drunk on Saturday night, Sunday morning, I go back to church. My pastor was a dear friend of mine, the dearest of friends. Loved him. We hunted, we fished, we done everything together. He was just like my daddy. And that was no mistake. There's no coincidences. There's no mistakes in the kingdom. And the kingdom means the rule of God. There was no mistakes in any of it. I met my wife. And, you know, I knew what I needed to do. I needed to come to the Lord. But I had this grand plan in my mind. I'm going to wait for her. You know, this is something we're going to do together. I'm going to wait on her. And things in our marriage spiraled out of control. Things with our kids spiraled out of control. Things in my life spiraled out of control. My own health. And that's where it got to. Everything was coming apart at the seams and spiraling out of control. I meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. I got sick. I was in the hospital. I had several doctors tell me they thought I had cancer. Didn't none of them know for sure. And they done the surgery, done some biopsies, this, that, and the other. I was worried sick. But come around on my birthday, and I was actually working on my birthday. And my dad had given me a book by Spurgeon. It's called All of Grace. And I still got that book. And I was laying there in my bed, and it's just God putting a desire in my heart. I need to learn. I need to do what God wants me to do. And it was just like He was sitting right beside of me talking. He said, "You lead by example." You know, I didn't love God first. I didn't put God first in my life. You know, I knew He's over here. I do a little bit of good. That wasn't going to do me no good. And I thought on that several times, you know. And that night I hit the floor right there in the bedroom at work. And I begged God to save my unworthy soul.
That's good.
A few months went on. You know, I just kept waiting. I thought, well, you know, I went to church that next Sunday. And I told the pastor in front of the church what had happened. And I told him, I said, "God's dealt with my heart. I won't be baptized." But my pastor, being a man of God he was, he wanted to see some fruit in me first. And he said, "Well, let's just wait. And about every Sunday, I need to get baptized. I got it. God's in my heart. The Holy Spirit's indwelling inside of me. I want to be baptized. I want to feel that feeling. I want to know what it is." Because when I was 11, I mean, I remember it. But something went right. And it went on about 6-8 months before he baptized me. And after the baptism, one of my pastor's good friends from down Anderson, South Carolina, was there. And he said, walked up on the bank and come over and hugged my neck. And he said, "Jamie, welcome to the war." And I thought, what's he talking about? Well, in the last 11 years, I've been finding out what he was talking about. Fighting his flesh. It's a daily battle. God knows I need strength. I need prayer. Just every day I see my faults and my failures. And I still look at him and his amazing grace and his mercy. And I praise his holy name for it. But it went on for a while, and I thought, well, next Sunday, you know, she'll come to Christ. She'll hit the altar. That Sunday went by, nothing. The next Sunday went by, nothing. Things got worse. I started finding out what that world was about. And it just kept getting worse for a long time. I won't go into detail about everything. But there was times I wanted to give up. But that whole talk the Lord had with my heart that night just kept coming to mind. You lead by example. You lead by example. And I tried to be faithful. Money get hard. Times get hard. I'd put my tithe in the offering plate, not knowing how I'd make my bills. But God provided. I'd go to church when no one else would go with me. God kept blessing me. It went on 2 or 3 years. And that was a long time. And during that 2 or 3 years there, I come to have peace. You know, and I don't mean nothing against my wife, but it wasn't about my wife. It wasn't about my kids. It wasn't about anybody in my family. It wasn't about anybody else in my life. I had to serve God. And I had to put him first. And I kept doing that. Not because of anything inside of me, but because other than the Holy Spirit. And then one Sunday, my wife hit the altar too. I can't explain the benefit and everything that has come from it. How God has blessed us in our marriage. It's like being married all over again. And the honeymoon ain't stopped. We still have a lot. Lord, yeah, we have problems. We have squabbles. But he still blesses us. But like I said, the biggest thing I want you to see is that separation. You see your family members. You see loved ones that have hit this altar, that have walked away, that's out there living in sin. Don't give up on them. It might be that temporary separation that'll bring about an eternal unity. And it's all in God's hands. It's according to His goodwill, His pleasure, and His purpose. And that's where our trust and faith comes in. I've got loved ones right now. Y'all know when we first started coming to church up here, a bunch of our family came. God was blessing. I thought, I just couldn't imagine. I couldn't believe it. They ain't here now. We've seen them all today. We've been over to Chris's dad's for a old birthday supper for him. And, George showed up. I just got up about crying. Look. Remember the night he walked through the door crying? He come up here at the altar. And he got up, just tears streaming down his face. He said, anybody in this church sees me out here living in sin again, come get me, tell me. I went and got him and I told him. I'm not giving up on God. I know what God can do. My sister, Lord knows, two of them on this side of the altar stand up with tears in her eyes. She's seen something for a while. Seen a change in them. A change that only God can do. And they're not here. It breaks my heart. It breaks my wife's heart. And I know each and every one of us have family members just like that. And it breaks our heart. But don't give up. Don't quit praying.
Amen.
God can deliver them. God can bring them back. Just pray that they can live until He does.
Amen.
Thank y'all for letting me get this off my heart. I appreciate it.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Obviously, we'd have to look it up and see if some preach Christ's condition, and nevertheless, Christ will preach. God knows what He's doing. Knows what He's doing.
Amen.
Let's go.